哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀呀呀嘿呀嘿，哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀呀呀嘿呀嘿。
Elder Voices, a window to the past, a door to the future.
Ay, 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 ay.
My name is Irene Ayokuma, and my maiden name was Peterson. I was born in Upper Kalskag in Kuskokwim. I lived in Kalskag till I was like 8 years old, and we did a lot of moving. My dad was a riverboat captain. He goes to Bethel and all the way up to McGrath. And we used to follow my dad when he goes on his trapping for fur, the whole family, and we missed a lot of school, us kids. We did mostly camping down at Kalskag area. We did a lot of summer camping. When the fish starts running, then we go to the camp, live in tents. I remember our tent, Grandma and Grandpa's tent. And my first boat ride was when I was real young, I think, my grandpa. I think they used to kind of pull their boat, those that didn't have motors or anything. They used to call them engine, the motors. My grandpa got a little 5-horse motor, I remember, little, tiny. And they were getting ready to go to their fish camp, and all of us kids wanted to go with them because they had a motor. And see, I thought we were going to go real fast. It took us a while to get to the camp, but we made it. Yeah, everybody, we were all happy. And I remember my dad, when he first got a motor too, I think it was some kind of motor he used to start with his hand. I was fascinated by that kind of motor. I used to wonder what would make them run and stuff. We used to have so much fun at camp. To have fun, because it was like he'd hunt for our food, like moose, beaver, all those fur when he goes trapping. With some few families, you know, we eat mostly from subsistence, and we'd fish for trout, grayling. But I used to remember, even I was 2 years old, I remember my finger was really hurting that time, and I remember, I think I was crying, and my mom and dad were talking, you know, in Yupik, and my mom told my dad to bring me to the school. So they got me ready. I remember I had a reindeer fawn parkie, little parkie. They put that on and we went. It was wee hours in the morning. All the way I remembered. And we went in, there was an old man, white hair, that went to the door. I forgot his name. He took a stainless steel bowl and he filled it with, might have been warm or hot water, and he put something white inside. It must have been Epsom salt. And then I know I started crying, and after that, I didn't remember. He must have taken care of my finger. I turned 5 years old. I remember clearly when I first started school at Kalskag, Upper Kalskag then, and we had BIA school teachers, and at that time we couldn't speak our dialect. Mine was Yupik. We couldn't speak our dialects in the school, and we would get punished for it. You know, I mostly stayed quiet because I was so afraid. And I watched kids, and they would get soap in their mouths, get hit, put in a corner, and spanked, and all those things. I was so afraid. I never talked or, you know, asked questions even I wanted to. And one time I accidentally, you know, I was so afraid. I was afraid to tell them that I wanted to go to the bathroom, and I had an accident. And I got scolded for that too. Yeah, but I was so afraid. I used to be so scared in the school. I never said a word, you know, most of the time. My Uncle Philip used to go to the school and pick me up because I was the first one to start school in our family. He used to go pick me up, and when it's time for him to drop me off, one time I remember I grabbed his leg and I cried real hard. I didn't want to stay in school, but he went out somehow. And then our teacher, she was a lady, her name was Gladys, and she too spoke in Yupik, even she was, you know, part white, and they were from Bethel area. And she spoke, but yet, you know, we got scolding. I did only once. And I was lucky my parents spoke a little bit English, and that's how we learned, you know, the Yupik. Here they lived in Aniak. I was like 9 years old, I think, by the time we went back to Aniak. And my mom and dad decided to send us to Holy Cross Mission. And my sister and I were sent there to attend 3 years of school, Catholic school. And we learned a lot there. And aside from being real homesick, but we got used to it. My parents sent us to school because they went to school there before they had children, before they got married. So they decided to send us there to see how we would do there. And we did, I think we did pretty well until homesickness hit. And when we were in Holy Cross, we didn't see our grandma passing away. I was so close to my grandma. She used to take me berry picking, looking for greens, looking for mouse food. But she used to return. But only we had to find the soft spot where the nest would be. When she did, she used to return some kind of food like dried fish or bread or something. She used to put rabbit snares out, ptarmigan. We never walked too far. I'd like to go with her. From Holy Cross, we moved back. That was my very second time in airplane. From Holy Cross to McGrath, and McGrath down to Crooked. I was 9 when I went to Holy Cross. I was 12 years old, 12 and a half years old when we went to Crooked. We had relatives there too. We continued school there, territorial. It was nice, a little harder. We read Dick and Jane from the beginning, from when I was a little girl. Dick and Jane book. One thing I used to like best was singing. Our teacher used to love to sing. I remember it's a yellow, something like this color. And we used to sing from there, like Christmas songs. And my teacher used to let my sister and I sing on the Christmas program. I remember the first song was Silent Night. My sister next to me, her name was Mary Rose. She died from alcohol next to me. I was so sad that time. I was young. I lived here then. And I, how old was she? She had, how many kids? 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 kids. She drowned. She fell over the boat, and that's real sad. Yeah. And every time after she died, every time I hear that song, I used to cry, remembering her and I singing together. Because we were so close together. That was my best memory. I just turned 74 too, so, and she would have been 72 now. We were like 2 years apart, all of us kids. We had a bunch of us in the family. Mom had me, Mary Rose, Raymond, Francine, Anna. And those boys, they were, oh, one boy, George Jr., and all the rest, Uzma and Charlie. Bernice was the youngest one. And sometimes she was carried babies. So they would have been maybe a dozen altogether. But now there's like 5 or 6 of us left. But when we get together, we all have good memories, happy memories when we were growing up. Every bedtime, my mom used to tell us stories just by not looking at books. Maybe what she learned at Holy Cross, when we go to bed, she would tell us stories about all those Inupiaq. And we would laugh. Now when my brothers and I and my sister get together, we always really laugh. Because she used to tell us about Little Red Riding Hood and all those. I remember those Inupiaq. Once in a while she'd say it in English. Every night she used to tell us bedtime stories. I always wish we had a tape recorder or something so we could tape our parents when they spoke to us in Inupiaq. I remember my mom died on Easter Sunday. I was with her, we were with her. She died at ANS Hospital. And my dad too, maybe a few years after mom died, he died too. My sister Fran and I went down to Anchorage to be with him for 2 weeks. There, I couldn't stay with him too long because I had to come back to work. But he wanted to go home so much, you know, he didn't like to be checked or anything. He wanted to go home. But I was happy that we were with him while he was still alive. We had a lot of games outdoors, like Auntie Iowa, kick the can, they call Eskimo baseball. And in the middle, your team on one side and their team. And we would run across, past the line and across to the other kids. That was our baseball, we call. And I remember too when I was growing, when we go to our fish camp, I used to babysit a lot because I was the oldest one. And Mama used to tell me how, you know, what to do and stuff. Her and my dad used to be cutting a lot of fish because Dad had a lot of dogs and they had to fish. And I used to babysit the little boy named Guzma playing the smokehouse because there was less mosquitoes there. When we play in the smokehouse, when some visitors come with families, we used to play in the smokehouse and we used to draw. They start drawing on the ground, you know, beds, people, fish wheels, and, you know, all kinds of drawing on the. They erase and draw different scenery. And then when we're supposed to guess whose camp or whose house, and when we do, they would erase that with their, what they were holding, piece of rock or something, erase and start over again. Mm. Oh, the one that guests do the drawing. And one time I told I think it was Francine next to third one down, I think I told her to, you know, relieve me of, you know, packing that baby around. And then not to, maybe a few minutes after I heard him start crying, she just put him down on the ground and playing with the other kids. Boy, I had to take over because I had to watch the kids real close so they won't get hurt. I used to be so happy when it was their bedtime. It's not that I hated to take care of them, but, you know, get some little rest. But I had to, you know, keep checking on them. Don't have to pack that baby around. I don't see that being done anymore. I might have been like 16. I remember the army people came and they made their camp on that side of my Aunt Teresa's place over there, and my sister Fran got real sick while they were there. My dad heard there was a doctor there, so he went to the base little camp there, and that doctor came, he checked her. Here she had a rheumatic fever, my sister Fran. We used to try to go to her bed and, you know, play with her and stuff, but she used to cry. She didn't even want us to touch her bed because her body was hurting so much. I think she had three times rheumatic fever. I remember once at camp, at our winter camp, and another one at Kalskeg, I think, and then last one was at Crooked. They thought she wouldn't live. She's still alive. She's still alive. Oh, she always called me, and they told her she would never be able to raise children. She's got six kids. You know, she believed in it. She believed in God. I graduated when I was 17 from eighth grade, and my teacher used to talk to me, you know, what I wanted to do, even before school ended, he used to talk to me what I wanted to do. I think I used to tell him I wanted to go to school, but he mentioned high school, but I thought I was too old to go to high school until I heard you're never too old to learn, you know, you're never too old to go to school. I didn't attend high school, but then he talked to Mom about LPN school at Mount Edgecombe, licensed practical nurses training in Mount Edgecombe for 1 year. And so he keep writing to Mount Edgecombe, and they accepted me to attend practical nurses schooling there. So that fall, that's when the high school started, I think. I went down to Mount Edgecombe for the nurses training, and I studied there. Mount Edgecombe. There was a lot of students, LPN students. We had our own dorm. Everything was provided for us, and we used to get monthly stipend. It wasn't too much, but it was good. I used to study real hard, study and try to learn. And when it was time, close to spring, we had to go to we had to OBGYN, and we had to go to those two. And boy, I loved that part, working with moms and babies and little kids. I was 18, and I, you know, got an idea how to take care of kids. And I used to just love those little kids that had arthritis or problem with bones and stuff. Orthopedic, they call. They were so honest, you know, and they, when I'm leaving to go back to the dorm, they all used to want hugs, so I had to do that and make them feel better. So, and their moms used to just smile. And then taking care of babies and moms, you know, get them ready for delivery and get them ready to go home, put them on a wheelchair, dress the babies and stuff. I really loved that part, maybe because I used to take care of my little brothers and sisters. I went back to Mount Edgecombe to finish, and you know, we had to do those before we graduate, and then we were getting ready to do our exam. My teacher, I remember her clearly. Her name was Miss Heron. Real slim. She used to be a nurse in the army. She came over to me before we had our tests. She came over to me. I was sitting studying, and she came right over to me in front of me. She said, "Miss Peterson, I don't think you're ever going to make this. I don't think you're going to pass." Oh, that was a blow, but, you know, I felt like crying, but I didn't. And in my mind, I answered, "That's what you think. I'm going to make it." And I tried real hard, you know, thinking of what she said. Maybe she said that to make me study harder, too, you know. After the testing, we waited for I don't know how many weeks, and then she got us all together. She told me, "Well, Miss Peterson, you passed." I had 91, I think, 92 or something like that. Oh, I was so happy. I could just like almost fly around. I felt so light, you know. And I started, you know, I wanted to get mad when she told me that she didn't think I was going to make it. That made me study harder, and I didn't cry. So they asked us where we wanted to work, and I said at ANS at Anchorage. We applied, and we all went to the different hospitals to work. I met my husband down at Mount Edgecombe. Yeah, December 29th, we got married, 55, and I got married. And then he had to move back here to help his brother take care of reindeer because my father-in-law was admitted for TB and he was down there for I don't know how many months. So I followed him to come up this way. And then we got married December 29th, and he had to move back up this way. I have to follow him because he was my husband. And when we first landed, I looked around. Where are the people, you know? And then I asked my husband, "How many people here?" He started counting 13 people. 13 people here living at that time, but there were some houses, few houses. A few days later, I heard that families moved from here to White Mountain so their kids can attend school from fall to spring. Families used to bring their families to White Mountain. And I remember one family, Floyd Fagerstrom. I think he used to bring his kids up to White Mountain with the boat by boat. And then when they're done after school, ride them back to Bahava. He wanted his kids to go to school no matter what. We moved here. I turned 20. And then in February, I think it was around February 6th, Floyd Fagerstrom, him and my husband and Floyd were friends. Floyd came in, and right out there he asked me, "Irene, do you want to help the nurses and the doctors, you know, when they come here to check patients and babies?" And right away I said yes. You know, to have something to do, I said yes. So that's how I got my health aid. I did that for like 12 years, volunteer work, because I loved working with people. And I try to be dedicated. Maybe I was, huh? I worked 12 years volunteer, did volunteer work. And I enjoyed it just as long as I have something to do. I just stand by for somebody gets sick. And that was after I started, you know, taking care of people. And the people that used to move up to White Mountain stopped going. They wanted to stay so we can get a school. And we got a BIA school. People didn't move anymore, so they lived down here. We had a BIA school then, which made it better. And my little exam room was in the little radio room, maybe, you know, small. I used to have a hard time, you know, and sometimes it's hard to get through to the doctors at Kotzebue area. And we didn't have phones at that time, too, but we always keep trying. There was a lot of health aides then on the radio. You know, when people get real sick, especially babies, that used to hurt. you know, like to try to get through. Sometimes lucky families always go in to Nome and have their kids checked because we didn't have equipment here. So, oh, Nome was, they had no ANs, or they had no, they had Maynard McDougall Memorial Hospital then. That was the only hospital. And I don't remember if they would take, but people that want to have their families checked sometimes have to go wintertime, take dog team and take their families over, see if they're going to check them. I don't think it was free then. And those that were able to used to fly over, like to have their first babies or something. But most of the time I delivered babies here. Before I retired, they didn't want them to stay here for home deliveries, because we did a lot of home deliveries here. I lost one baby and some few miscarriages. Oh, I hated to see those babies. I wished I had, you know, better equipment and stuff, because I love babies. I know how many kids I delivered. Quite a few, and a lot of them have families now, and I'm their grandma. I used to have, there was an elder lady, Ida Boone. I used to let her go with me just to be there to hang on to the hand when she has, when the lady have, when they're born right there. After we got our second new clinic, I had two babies born in there. That was the last time, and then they wanted mothers to go into Nome and have their babies. Maybe 2 weeks ahead of time before delivery. A lot of them used to want to stay here and have babies. And one of the girls, Ellie, her name is Ellie, she wanted, in the worst way, she wanted me to deliver her younger one here so I could deliver him. I told her, no, you're not, you go there. You go to Nome. You know, sometimes they would ask me, and I say, no, you go to Nome. I'm, you know, I don't work anymore. I'm just retired. When I say that, I quit working, you know. You didn't quit, you retired. Before I got married, I talked to my parents. My husband is a covenant here, and my mom said, it's okay, we all have, you know, we all serve one God. And my dad was kind of against it, all right, but he let me go. He didn't want to let me go, I think, but he did. And he sure loved my husband. He sure, you know, talk and laugh, maybe that's why too. He sure liked him after. I thought he would, you know, he wouldn't like him, but when we went home, he sure liked him. I retired March 8, 2002, on my husband's birthday. After I retired, my husband died in September 30, 2002. He used to help me too when I make home visits, like wee hours when I get calls, you know, bang, bang, bang on the door. People would want me to check, and he would go with me. There, I wish there would be more, you know, students that would go into health aiding or some other, you know, like doctor or PA, health aiding. That's where they we first learn here. They have to want to do it. Yeah, they have to love and want to do it. Yeah, thinking about it, and then college. When things get a little hard, we tend to want to quit. But a lot of times I did that, but I kept on going, no, I won't. I won't do it. You know, a lot of times when I get into tough situations, when somebody died, or, you know, and I think about what my teacher said to me, and I, no, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going, you know, keep going. It's ongoing, you know, you have to learn. Keep on learning, no matter how old you are or how old I was. I thought I was too old.
Ah.
You've been listening to Elder Voices, a production of KNOM.
If you are an elder or know an elder who would like to participate, call KNOM at 907-443-5221 or write to KNOM Radio, Elder Voices, P.O. Box 988, Nome, Alaska, 99762. Thank you for listening to Elder Voices.